Welcome to the Wildly Confident Podcast, where we discuss all the ways to help you get more confident, make more money, and get the results you want in your life stat. I'm Katherine Weisner, your host. I'm a certified life coach through the Life Coach School and the creatrix of my own multi-million dollar business. Hello, hello, everyone. So excited you're here. Today, I'm going to be chatting about the somatic and embodiment work I do with clients from time to time. And how I actually got started on that stuff was really when I cured myself of rheumatoid arthritis and of having Hashimoto's thyroiditis. Those two things happened to me at different periods of my life, and also migraines. Now, you know, knock on wood, so far I've been free of those three things for many years now, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about my journey and share with you some of the things I did. But I really, really believe in somatic work and embodiment work as part of the overall healing in someone. It doesn't mean that I'm going to do that with all my clients, right? If my clients don't want to do that stuff, or they don't believe in it, I'm not going to push anything like that on anyone. But I have seen it produce remarkable results, not just in myself, but also in my clients, and it being somehow like the turning point for some of the stickier things that mindset work simply just wasn't going to touch. So absolutely, the first place I go with all my clients is always mindset work. We use a tool called the model that I was taught in coaching school on how to uncover how our thoughts are creating our reality. It's an amazing tool. And that can get my clients really far. In fact, it can get them as far as they want to go with their results, where they don't even ever need to do any of this somatic or embodiment work. But even with mindset work, I do include a few embodiment things sometimes. Like, let me give you some examples. I will have clients repeat their business speeches over and over again. I will have them do it in front of a mirror, doing like power poses and things like that. That sort of like very light embodiment work is just getting your body, your nervous system used to something new. It's kind of like exposure therapy, right? The more we do something, the less we're afraid of it. So no matter what, if you're working with me, you probably will do a little bit of embodiment work where we are learning new habits and getting our nervous system and body used to them so we feel really empowered around them. You know, the first time you do something, it's going to feel a little wonky. And the more you do something, the easier it gets. The more that you give a speech, the less afraid you are going to be of public speaking. And so no matter what, when you're creating a new habit, you're just always doing embodiment work. So coupled with mindset stuff, we have to do a little embodiment work to get that new habit wired in the body. So it's like brushing our teeth every day. It's as easy as pouring a glass of water. It's super easy for us to do. And some of the more what I would call more somatic or healing work I do with clients, it centers around a few different things. So usually we've done some mindset work together. We've done some of the embodiment work that's coupled with the mindset work, getting them into a really confident, positive place. But then we're noticing that they're still stuck. I almost call these like the stuff like sticky points, but there's no like real story behind it. But they feel like easily triggered by, you know, certain things and almost unconscious of it sometimes. And this is why, I mean, I've been in this experience myself on my own health journey of getting to what I would call like a very healthy, feel good place in my body as I define it, not as science or the media or anyone defines health, right? My definition is that I just feel really good in my body and I have a maximum amount of energy each day and that I am kind and compassionate with myself. So, you know, I know about mental health and I know how to care about myself. But something that really got me interested in this was acupuncture years ago and the value acupuncture had when actually me curing my own rheumatoid arthritis. I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis when I was 18 years old and it was quite crippling for me. I had to take a lot of medications and it kind of just came out of the blue. It was like, what the hell is this about? Why is this happening to me? I'm like an 18-year-old in college, having fun, all this stuff, right? And so I really decided when I was, I want to say like 22 or 23, like a little older, I was like, I am not going to let this, I don't want to be on medication the rest of my life. I don't want to be going through these like bouts where I have like crippling pain and then I'm fine. Like it kind of goes through waves and you can get into like triggers with it. And I decided to really educate myself on why this was happening so I could overcome it. And one of the main things I did besides getting really clean about my diet was I started seeing an acupuncturist. And to me, I swear this is what shifted things for me. And I have been off those medications for like 15 years now, for the most part. I had to go back on one of them briefly after my second pregnancy for like a month. And then I was able to get right back off it. But yeah, I've been off medications, living a great life, never thinking about this testing negative for RA, right? And doctors are like, that's not possible. Like, you must have not had it. And I was like, y'all, I have the test results over and over and over again. And I was on all this medication. I didn't just have it for a week. I had it for years. And I had multiple positive tests that I had it. And so I started like getting really curious after the fact, like, why was I able to cure this? Like, why me? And I kept meeting more and more people that had cured things like this too. Was it just a belief I had? Right? I don't know. Maybe just the belief I had. I was so sure I was going to be healthy. A lot of people believe in that power of positive thinking, or even in placebo effect, right? That we can just cure and heal ourselves. I do believe our body has a lot of knowledge in it. And yes, I still love medicine. I love modern medicine. I'm so grateful when I break my arm or if I, you know, I have cancer and they have a cure to it. Oh my gosh, so grateful, right? It doesn't mean that I don't go to the doctors. I go every year, right? I get my physical. I go to my dermatologist and get checked for skin cancer. Like, I absolutely adore and take use of the medical community. And I'm so grateful that there are doctors, like beyond grateful. And at the same time, I didn't find that the doctors that I was seeing at the time when I had the stuff, they just were like, well, you're just going to be on medication. Like, that was kind of their answer to me. And I was like, that cannot be the answer. My body said, that's not right. So after I got to the other side of this, I started wondering, like, what exactly was going on with me? Why did I have this rheumatoid arthritis and why is it gone now? I can't really, like, a lot of this autoimmune disease stuff, like, there's not a lot of answers about why it occurs. It's kind of like this mystery. And around that time, I started learning about something called epigenetics. Now, everyone, please take this with a grain of salt. Please do your own research. Please educate yourself and have experiences with this stuff. I am not an expert. I am not your guru. I am here just sharing experiences for my life. I wholeheartedly believe in this stuff. Otherwise, I wouldn't be sharing it with you all. But I want you to think about this stuff and see if you think it's true and see if it might serve you in a way that's in the highest good for you always. If there's one thing this podcast serves to do other than just raise your confidence level, it's also to empower you to think for yourself and to question things and to try things on, okay? It's about learning a different way of thinking than what you might have learned in school, which is like, let me tell you how things are and blindly believe me. I want you to question this shit. I want you to be like, I don't believe that. Good for you. Don't believe it. Okay. I'm sharing with you what I believe. And I want you this is an educational experience for you to see if you like it or not. It's like trying something out and being like, no, that doesn't work for me. Or that feels actually like that's doable for me or possible, or that feels good. And I might want to try that thing out. And always, y'all, keep going to your doctors. I'm not a doctor myself, and I'm not advising you not to get medical care ever. If anything, I have big love for doctors, just like I have big love for myself. Okay. So anyway, what I learned when I was doing some research about epigenetics was there's this really interesting study done by Diaz et al. In 2013. It's the cherry blossom experiment. And this is going to sound, I don't eat animals. I am a vegetarian / vegan most of the time. And so I'm absolutely against animal testing. So just forewarning, there's a little story about animal testing in here. So if that's disturbing to you, probably get off the podcast. And I totally understand. But I think this is such an interesting fact to be aware of that, you know, if you feel okay hearing about this, please hang on. So in this experiment, they exposed mice to the scent of cherry blossoms and would shock them at the same time. And this would make the mice afraid of the scent of cherry blossoms, right? Normal reaction. And then what they did was they took the mice and they took like the fathers who'd been exposed to the cherry blossom sent with the shock, and they had them breed with female mice who hadn't been exposed to the cherry blossoms. So I think this is really important, because then they take those male mice and they completely remove them from any sort of dynamic with the female mice. Okay. And when the little baby mice are born, they have a fear of cherry blossoms. And I think this is really interesting to think about, because it wasn't from socialization or watching the father who had been exposed to the cherry blossom experiment, right? The mother had not. It was through the father who'd been exposed to it. So you cannot say that it was from watching someone be afraid of something or socialization. It's the only way that this could have really happened was if it was passed through the DNA or somehow through genetics, right? And it wasn't just that. Then that generation of mice had babies, and their babies were afraid of cherry blossom smell too. It got passed on and passed on. And they say it gets passed on to 7 generations, these fears, and can be passed on in the genes. And that's what epigenetics is about. And the good news is that also in this experiment, that it's all reversible too. So I got really interested in this and learning that it was reversible. So later on, the scientists ended up desensitizing the mice to the cherry blossom smell by repetitively exposing them to the scent without receiving a foot shock. And guess what? They lost their fearful epigenetic signature during the desensitizing process, and their babies no longer had the heightened sensitivity to the scent. So I just absolutely, I was like, oh my gosh, like this experiment really opened up my mind to how we can actually be holding on to energies or fears, I think more than anything, in our bodies passed along from our ancestors that we won't be able to necessarily put our executive functioning mind on, because it hasn't happened to us. This is that subconscious patterning that we might be constantly kind of caught in, or like I call it being sticky, right? We get keep getting our stepping in the dog poop on that one, right? And we don't really know why. It's like, why did this happen to me? And I do think it can manifest illnesses in the body. This is just my opinion. A lot of people disagree with me. But probably about 10 years later, I got diagnosed with Hashimoto thyroiditis. And it was really interesting for me, because a lot of women I know have thyroid issues. It seems to be so common. And I mean, I think about my friends, a number of them on thyroid medications. The women in my family have this Hashimoto's thing is on both sides of my family, but many, many women in my family have been on thyroid medications for years. So one might say, oh, it's just a genetic thing, right? Or epigenetic, right? We could look at it that way, that somehow there's something being dysregulated in the thyroid. And because the thyroid is so closely related to speaking your truth energetically, to your throat chakra, when I got diagnosed with this, I was like, okay, yeah, I'll go on the medication, of course, right? Like, I'm that type of person who's obviously going to want to take care of my body and follow the doctor's recommendations, but I'm also going to look for alternative ways to cure it and get really systematic about making sure I'm coming in for my test to see if I'm getting better. And so I ended up digging into doing a lot of what I would call cellular memory work, which is another controversial term. Y'all can look it up. Medical profession would generally say that is not real. There are some studies that have, you know, kind of said it could be possible when we look at like donors, like organs being transplanted. Some people have experienced situations where they have taken on qualities of the person's organ that was donated, especially heart organs seem to be the ones that have the most amount of potential for cellular memory. There's one story of a lady who got a donor from someone named Tim. He was like a 20-year-old motorcycle accident victim. And she got his heart donated to her and transplanted in her. And immediately after, she was just, all she wanted was, I think, like beer and chicken nuggets and like hot wings or something. Like, and those were foods like she never ate before. And those just happened to be, she didn't know his name either. And she kept having dreams after getting the heart transplant of someone named Tim. And eventually she found out that her donor's name was Tim and that his favorite foods were beer, chicken nuggets, and like hot wings. And so there's little stories like this from people who have direct experience with cellular memory from organ transplants. And I just believe in cellular memory. I just do. I noticed that, you know, I think the cells in my thyroid have some sort of memory or more susceptible, whether we want to call that, you know, DNA or genetics or whatever, that have never been properly healed. And I'm curious, and I'm really interested in permanent healing. I love how medicine can help make something better, but it's often you have to keep taking the medication in order to be okay. It's not a permanent healing. And so I am very much always desiring, because I don't want to be taking medication every day. Now, you certainly can. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay. I'm going to say that again. There's nothing wrong with taking medication every day, but I don't want it. So I ended up at the same time I was taking this medication, you know, re-examining my diet, because I always feel like, was there something that triggered an immune response in me? Like, I'm clearly susceptible to thyroid issues for whatever reason. Can I heal that susceptibility? I think I can. And what triggered it? What's the trigger? And I think environmental stuff is what triggers a lot of this autoimmune business. Did I eat something or start doing something differently that's going to trigger this? So I always look to diet first and I play around with that. And I also look into some, what I would call somatic work, whether that be doing some acupuncture and I certainly was doing acupuncture for this, but I really think ultimately what ended up bringing me to my other side of Hashimoto's, where I'm now off medications, where I feel great, where my test numbers are all really low, was doing different sound work, because it's in my throat chakra. And breath work as well. I ended up really focusing on doing some series of breath work stuff for myself, and also practicing mantras and chants that hypothetically be like vibrating and healing that area. And for me, that was what made big shifts, like between the diet stuff and doing a combination of some of the somatic stuff, releasing and clearing the cellular memory of prior generations or epigenetics, however you want to look at it. I think this stuff gets wired in your nervous system. It gets wired in your body. It gets stuck in your body. That's why, you know, whether we want to call it genetics or epigenetics or cellular memory, whatever thing kind of suits your brain, or you don't want to believe in this at all. I just think that this is why certain like family members, like people in families, have similar things passed down from one generation to the next. And I just believe that we have the power, when we become aware of something, to make a change for our entire lineage. This is the last generation that's going to have heart disease. I'm the last person in my family who's going to have a thyroid issue. Like, my daughter's not going to have this issue. I wholeheartedly believe that I cleared it from our lineage. Now, we'll find out, right? But I believe it's possible. And I did the same thing with migraines. I had like chronic migraines that I cleared, you know, I mean, literally was having them all the time for a period of like on and off for years, and on medication and all this other stuff. And I cleared them through breath work. I cleared them through me tapping into my body through breath work. So coming out of the mind and coming into the body and listening to my own body and doing some literal energy healing. So that's some of the stuff I do with my clients, that when we get through mindset stuff, and if they're still blocked, and if they feel comfortable enough, and trust me, we're going to potentially try holding some acupressure points. We're going to try some breath work. We are going to try definitely some chanting. I really find that can be a great way, just clearing out the space, even like a really nice om, right? Oh, om starts out with a big O in the mouth, right? It's in the stomach energy. And then we go to right? And then you should feel in your throat, and the you should feel in your head. Let's do an om right now and just see how like clear and free you feel. I always feel like an om is a great way to clear out any sort of stuck emotions in the body. And it's like a shower for the soul. Let's just do an om. Let's start with a nice big deep O, and then right? We clear out our stomach and gut area, we cleared our throat, and lastly, we cleared our head. Already, my brain, everything's just like, whoosh, crystal clean, right? Feels so good to do something like that. So those are small practices I do with people. And I also do some energy work as well with that person of helping to clear out cellular memories if they're interested in energy work. And I've thought sometimes, like, maybe this is just all placebo. I'm kind of the devil's advocate on some things, and I'm like, maybe this is all placebo, you know, but when I research placebo, I like the results of it. You know, it's something like 33 to 70% of people in studies. And I like that number too. You know, so often people get a placebo and they get the same effects of it, whether or not they're taking that drug, as the people who did take the drug. The power of the mind and body, if you believe you can heal yourself, to heal itself, to release things in the body, absolutely amazing. And so I choose to believe this stuff because there's no harm in it. And also because I'm the type of person that is still going to go see a doctor, is still going to take my medication, and I'm going to slowly titrate myself off it as I do these alternative practices to make sure I'm still taking care of my body. I'm not the type of person who's like not going to see a doctor and only do alternative and energetic health stuff. Like, I'm not dogmatic like that. I always believe the answer is a mix of everything, kind of like put together in your own little pot. It's like, you know, alchemy for your soul. And that it's important to not get too dogmatic about anything. Like, not that, like, you know, I don't believe doctors know best. I don't believe that medicine's always best, but I do absolutely like to use medicine when it seems like the obvious, easy answer. And then I'm going to do my work to make the long-term change for my body and for my health to also hopefully cure this for multiple generations. So it's not something that's going to continue to show up. So I really hope you enjoyed this podcast and got something from it. And if you're interested in working with me at all on any of mindset work, into some of this embodiment, somatic practice work, I absolutely love helping people with it. I can just tell you that I have used this to clear so many negative things in my life, like bad memories and hard things that happened to me too. Like, it doesn't have to be, you know, some sort of autoimmune thing or headaches. I have used these types of things to clear bad memories, like literally transform them into something totally different so they don't haunt me. And I've used it with my clients, and I have seen it work. I mean, sometimes I had had things that have haunted me for years, and I do like one session on myself because I've learned how to do this stuff on myself, and it's like gone forever. I mean, it's so liberating and so freeing, and it feels so good. But I believe in this stuff, right? So whether it's placebo or not, I don't really care. I just want to feel better. So I'm going to roll the dice and see what happens. So I'm going to leave you with an excerpt from this poem by Lynn Roberts. The poem is called Acupuncture and Cleansing at 48. The needles trying to open my channels of chi so I can sleep at night without choking. So I don't have to fear waking my wife hawking the hardened mucus out. So I don't have to lie there thinking of those I hate, of those who have died. The needles tapped into my kidney point where memory resides, tapped into my liver point where poisons collect, into the feet and hands, the three chakras of the chest that split the body in half, my right healthy, my left in pain, my old friend's betrayal lumped in my neck, my old love walking away 30 years ago, stuck in my lower back, father's death, mother's lovelessness lodged in so many parts it may take years. Dr. Ming whispers to wash them out, telling me to breathe deep, to breathe hard. The body is nothing but a map of the heart.
I am so glad you joined us this week. And as a reminder, this podcast is for general informational purposes only. Please use your guidance and judgment when making any sort of changes to your life that are best for you. Thanks so much.